But if you'll take your Bibles, we're going to get started today. We're going to begin and read our text today in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we're going to start. If you can stand in out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read verses 13 through 18. I'll have you read the even verses with me, 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. And I'll start in verse 13, and you join me on the even verses. If you are able to stand, please do. If not, that's okay. We certainly understand. But in chapter 10, it begins in verse 13 with this. But we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Together. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Together. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You know, one of the things that I love about the Word of God is it doesn't change. It's always true. And it says what it means, and it means what it says. And I was thinking this year about this past year about what to do and what to say, how to lead our church into a new year, 2021. And God laid upon my heart just a simple theme, and that theme I put on the calendar. And wanted to kind of clarify and express to you this morning in the message. And the theme is, each one, reach one in 2021. Now, it does have a nice little rhyming to it. That's kind of nice. But the truth is evident. We all have a circle of influence. And maybe our circle is greater than others or smaller than others. I don't know. But I do know that we all have a circle of influence. And God wants us to reach people. He wants us to reach them. Okay? And so what does that mean? What does it mean to reach someone? And so today I hope that I can make clear the vision, the idea that God laid on my heart for our church this year. Well, 362 days that we have left, if you will. But these days that we have for this year, what does God want for our church? What does God want for this group of believers? And I think and I hope we'll see that today as we meet together in the Word of God. The title of today's message is called The Reach of One. The Reach of One. You say, well, what is one person in the grand scheme of things? You may be like the person walking down the street and you see a penny on the ground. So it's just a penny. What's the value of a penny? Well, it's one penny. That's the value of a penny. And if you get a whole bunch of them, you have a whole bunch of them, right? What's the value of $1? Well, it's $1 out of the million that you have, right? You don't have a million? Okay, neither do I. But you know what? The thing is, the value of one is the value of, it's one. It does have value. You say, but it's so little. Well, yes, but you can't get so much without starting with so little. You see, it's a building block. It's an individual item. It's one thing. Are we not the body of Christ? You know, a body has many members, doesn't it? But without the members, it's not a complete body. If I were to have an accident and cut off my fingers like one of my dear friends, okay, wouldn't be a whole person anymore. I'd be missing some of my members, okay? Now, I do have all of these members, but as you'll notice, I'm missing some members, okay? And maybe some of you are missing members too. I don't know, okay? Yeah, some of us are. Amen. Mine are leaving from the front and the back. They're trying to race to see who can get to the middle first, okay? I think that's what my members are doing. But, you know, on a hot, sunny summer Texas day in January, I feel those members gone, you know? It gets a little hotter on this part of my head up here. But let me tell you something. One is not invaluable. One is valuable. And so we're going to, that's why this title, and the theme for the year, each one, reach one. He said, what good will it do for me as a believer in Christ to reach one person this year? What good will it do? Well, the good that it will do is there'll be one more person reached for Christ. That's the good it will do. That's the value of it. And we have to understand there is a value of reaching people for Christ, even if it's just one. But God wants us to go and reach that one and to make many. Because you take one, and you add another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, another one. Pretty soon you have what? Many. And that's the goal that we have. Paul was talking here to the Corinthians, and he's having a little argument. You can read all of chapter 10. And we're gonna go back and catch several verses here as we go through this morning. But I'm trying to get across to you a thought, a vision, a mindset for this new year. I believe that God wants each one of us that are here at Lighthouse Baptist Church to reach one this year. Now, you can say, well, but I don't want to just reach one. I want to reach many. Great. But can I tell you something? It starts with one. It starts with one. Now, after you get through reaching one, reach another, that's fine. But that's not what I'm talking about. I want you to just to get to the one. God wants us to reach one. But I want to talk to you today about the reach of one. What is your reach? You know, you're an individual. You're one. And you're important to God. You're valuable to God. You're that penny that God picked up off the street and put in his pocket. You belong to him. You like that analogy? Hey, we were just a dirty old penny that nobody else wanted. God reached down and picked us up and put us in his pocket. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you have salvation? Hey, listen, you're saved. You have salvation because you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And you one person, you're a valuable part of God's collection of pennies. You're a valuable part of God's collection of individuals. God loves you. He wants you to know that love that he has for you. But he wants you to know that you have a reach as well. Look at what Paul says here in our text. Look at verse 13. He says, we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. You see, each individual has a reach. And that reach is the measure that God has appointed for each one of us to have. I'm not an extremely tall or large individual. But if I raise my arm, stick my arms out here from side to side, when I was young, I measured from the tip of my finger to the tip of this finger. It was 6 feet 4 inches. That's a pretty good reach. Okay, I mean, I can reach a long ways. Right? I can reach up high. I can reach down low. Right? I can still bend that far. Okay. But, you know, my reach is important, is it not? And guess what? If I were to bring up my son Oliver, his reach is not as great. Right? If I were to bring up my son Ethan, his reach is bigger than mine. You understand? We all, you see, each individual has a different what? A different reach. But we all have one. Even my arms were sewed to the side of my body, right? I would have a lesser reach, but I would still have a reach. Some kind. God says that we have a reach, and it's according to His measure, not our own. So let's talk about the reach that we have in our life that God has allowed us to manage, that God has given to us to use for His glory. First of all, I want to talk about the measure or the reach of our salvation. The reach of our salvation. You know, God has given us eternal life. You know what? When you were a sinner, you didn't have a reach. You didn't have a reach because you were without hope. You were lost and undone without eternal life. We know the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, short is a measurement. Yeah, it's a measurement. Short, right? Long, short. We've all fallen short of eternal life in sin. We're sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. But aren't you glad for a verse like Romans 5:8? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were short, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, there was a point in time where we didn't have a reach. We didn't have anything to reach with or for. We had no reach at all because of sin and the wages of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We were all sinners. And we all needed to be saved by a Savior. We all needed to get a reach. We didn't have a measure of anything because we were lost and we were undone. We had fallen short of the gospel. Fallen short of God's glory because we did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We needed to be saved and saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We've read before in different sermons, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You know what? Aren't you glad that one day you realized that you were a sinner, that you needed salvation, and you looked to Jesus for eternal life? And you said, Lord, save me. And He gave you that gift of eternal life. He gave you salvation, rich and free. And you know what? When we're created in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. We're a new creature in Jesus Christ. Guess what? The day of your salvation is the day that you got your reach. Now you have the ability to reach someone for Christ. God said that in our sin, we were stuck in the miry clay. And Jesus reached down and brought us out. He brought us out of that dire situation. He brought us out of condemnation to life everlasting. He gave us a reach. He put our feet on solid ground, so that we could reach out to someone else and bring them to the Savior. He's given us an ability to reach. It's the measure, it's the reach of salvation. Oh, aren't you glad that salvation has a long reach? Oh, yes. You say, oh, I wasn't that bad. I was just a church-going kid that beat up his sister from time to time and disobeyed his parents and told maybe a couple lies or stole a few things, but I really wasn't that bad, so God didn't have to reach down too far for me. Oh, now come on now. I'm measuring my sin But God says that sin is sin. It doesn't matter if it's lying, cheating, stealing, or murder. You know, God's measurement of sin is a little different than my measurement of sin, isn't it? Oh yeah, we quantify things according to our measure, not according to His measure. How does God measure sin? Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You know what God sees? He sees the same measurement of sin for all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says that sin is sin. And sin is death. Death comes by sin. We know John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So, well, I'm a good person. Have you talked to people? Hey, if you die today, you know for sure you go to heaven. Oh yes, I know for sure I go to heaven. Well, may I ask how you know that? Well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. What does God say the measurement of our righteousness is? He says in Isaiah 64, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Oh yes. We're not going to make salvation by our righteousness. Titus 3, 5 and 6 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Hey, I'm just talking about the reach of salvation today. Aren't you glad that salvation has a long reach? Because God reached out and saved you. And you know what? He wants us to take that. And He wants us to reach out with that long reach of salvation through Jesus Christ and help save others. Hey, you and I can't save anybody. But God can. But God can. And God's given us a reach in our world, in our circle, that we have an influence to reach others for Jesus Christ. And I'm not asking you to go out and necessarily set the world on fire. I just want you to reach those that you can reach. Hey, I don't look at one of my kids and send them out to the garage and tell them to look way up at the ceiling and grab something. Because they can't reach it. Right? Or I have one of my little ones next to me, and there's something right about here that I want to have. I don't tell the little girls to, hey, would you reach that for me? No, they can't reach it, but I can. And I can reach what I can reach, and they can reach what they can reach. That's what God wants for us to do. But the reach of salvation is evident in our lives. It's evident because we were reached by God. He reached out to us. And we ought to reach out to others. You know what? God said, Jesus said, that He's here to do the work of His Father. He said, "I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost." And you know what? He says, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you to do the work of my Father as well. And He sent His disciples out, didn't He? Two by two, into the work, into the harvest. He said, hey, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He might send forth laborers into His harvest. He wants us to reach, doesn't He? He wants us to reach out there, the reach of salvation. You know what? Salvation reaches far. It reaches wide, because salvation is for all. It's not by our righteousness, but by the righteousness of Christ. In Philippians 3:9, it says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And we're not saved by our righteousness, we're saved by His righteousness. Remember back in Romans chapter 5, we were reading about Adam and bringing sin and death into the world. It continues in verse 17 and says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Oh, the reach of salvation. Hey, remember what Paul said? He said, "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." That's the reach we have, the reach of salvation. Well, may I continue and say the reach of one, not only the reach of salvation, but how about the reach of sanctification? Holiness, purity, being set apart. Let me ask you a question. Can I live my life how I want to? Can I? Yes, I can. Can I stand up here and be a preacher of the gospel, a pastor of a church, and live my life the way I want to? The answer is yes. But let me ask you a further question. If I live a life that's carnal, wicked, lying, cheating, stealing, being an adulterer, doing different things, okay, I can do that, can't I? But what kind of influence will I have? What kind of reach will I have as a preacher of the gospel, as the pastor of a church? Anyone? Yeah. Do you know what the Bible says about sin? It's a binding agent. Bound by the chains of sin. It keeps me from having a what? A reach. You say, "Well, but you can do those things." Well, sure I can. And so can you. But you're going to be losing your reach. You won't be able to reach people. Hey, how many people want to follow someone who doesn't believe, do what they say is true? Not very many. Listen, can I stand here and tell you that lying is wrong? I can. Is it wrong? Yes, it is. Now, can I go over to Brother Dart and tell him a lie? And is lying still wrong? Yes. The fact that I lie doesn't change the fact that lying is wrong. It just makes me a liar. And guess what it does to my reach? It shrinks it. Takes it in. See, why live a life of holiness? Why live a life of sanctification? Why live a life that's pure and true? To extend my reach. To be a witness. Now, if you go back and read here in 2 Corinthians 10, Paul sounds like he's defending himself. But look at verse 3. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's." What's he talking about? He's talking about living a holy life. He's talking about living a life that's pleasing to Jesus Christ. Why? For his own benefit? For his own pride? No. No, no. For a reach. For a reach. Hey, Paul wasn't trying to be holier than thou to these Corinthians. He didn't think that he was better than them. And he goes on to say, in verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." He wasn't doing it for that purpose. He was doing it so that he could have a greater reach for the gospel of Christ. He said so much in verse 15, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." Paul was looking for a greater reach. So he lived his life and he conducted himself in sanctification and holiness and purity. How do we extend our reach being set apart for the purpose of God? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, the church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, God wants his church to be holy, to be pure. Why? To have a greater reach. Hey, when you live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, is that going to be pleasing to others? They're going to say, hey, that person's a good person. They tell the truth. They're honest. They're generous. They're merciful. They think about others. They do this. They do that. They're a good person. Now, is that for our benefit? Oh, no. It's so that we can do what? Reach them for Christ. So that we can have a greater reach in our community. We are sanctified. We are set apart that we might be presented to Christ a glorious church. Not a shameful church. Glorious church. Go over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. The reach of sanctification. John chapter 17, look at verse 17. Go back up to verse 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." What was Jesus doing? He was praying for his disciples. He was praying for the ones that had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that had eternal life, that he was going to use to set the world afire for the cause of Christ. To go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, that takes a big reach, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And what is he praying to God about his people that he loves and that God has given to him? That they're kept. That they're protected from evil. That they live right according to the word of God. That they're sanctified by the word. Hey, why do we do the things we do? Why do we say the things we say? Why do we live the way we live? Because it's what God's word tells us. God, what that gives us a greater what? A greater reach. You know, the better Christian you are, the longer reach you're going to have. Aren't you? Yeah. Yeah. And listen, it's not for your own pride. It's not for your own benefit. But it's for the glory of God. God wants us to have a greater reach. The reach of sanctification. How do we get that reach? Through following God's word. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. It's that simple, isn't it? Right? No, simple but hard, yes? Oh, yes. You know what? God wants us to do it His way. He wants us to follow His word. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The reach of one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Why? Shorter reach. Right? Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Does this sound like a guideline of how to live and how to extend our reach through being set apart? Remember, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Everybody okay with these guidelines? What is this going to do for us?
It's going to make us a popular man in society. People are going to think that we are a great person.
No. That's not what it's for. It's so that we can reach more. So we can have a greater reach to gather in the harvest of souls for the Lord. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's His way, folks. Being set apart and sanctified extends our reach into the community. The reach of salvation, the reach of sanctification. And then I want to just give you one more this morning to enunciate the significance of the reach of one. Your reach for Christ. And that is your reach of soul winning. Your reach of salvation, your reach of sanctification, and your reach of soul winning. Go back to 2 Corinthians 10. Listen to what Paul says. He makes this big case about his life and how they've tried to live a pure and clean and holy life and be a good example to the Corinthians, not for their own glory, but for the glory of God. And he says that, not boasting, look at verse 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Why? What's the reason for it? To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready at our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The whole purpose of this was to reach beyond and to see more people saved. Soul winning is the heart of God. You know that? Hey, soul winning is not the only thing, but sure is an important thing. We need to reach out to others for the cause of Christ. You know what? How does your reach in soul winning extend? Well, first of all, it extends by your heart's desire. Romans 10:1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." What is the desire of your heart? Do you have a desire to see your neighbor saved? Do you have a desire to see your coworker saved? Do you have a desire to see your loved ones saved? Do you have a desire to see that stranger walking down the street saved? What is your heart's desire? Paul's desire was for Israel that they might be saved. You know, there's another portion of Scripture where Paul says that he'd even give up his own salvation, if he could, to see people saved. Do you think the desire of Paul's heart was salvation for others? Do you think his desire of his heart was soul winning? Oh, I do. I do. He said so himself. Well, not only the desire of your heart, as your desire for seeing people saved grows, your reach will grow. Not only your heart's desire, but how about your heart's dedication? Dedication. Are you dedicated to the work? You know what? In 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Anybody want to argue with me that the Apostle Paul was dedicated to the work of soul winning? He went from city to city to city to city to city to do nothing but preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To do nothing but to see people saved. He was dedicated. When he was beaten, he preached the gospel. When he was imprisoned, he preached the gospel. When he was stoned to death, he preached the gospel. When he was tired, he preached the gospel. When he was wounded, he preached the gospel. When he was sick, he preached the gospel. What was this man all about? Preaching the gospel. I call that dedication. Folks, I call that dedication. What do you eat, sleep, drink, and breathe? Gospel? Dedicated? Hey, listen. We need to be dedicated. If we're dedicated to preaching the gospel, guess what's going to happen? Yeah. We're going to extend our reach. One more today. How about your heart's devotion? The devotion of your heart. Go over to 1 Corinthians 9. We'll stop here today. 1 Corinthians 9. It's hard to explain a vision for the whole year in one sermon. Amen? So I won't. I'll just stop here today. I already read to you a little bit of this in 1 Corinthians 9 about Paul's dedication. But look at his devotion. Look at verse 22. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all measure, all means, save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Does that sound like a devoted man? Yeah. Does that sound like someone who really believes what he's preaching? Sure does. It sure does. Where's your devotion? Where's your dedication? Where's your desire? I tell you what, if it's on soul winning, if it's on reaching people for Christ, it's going to extend your reach. We're talking about one person today. The reach of one. Today my focus was on the each one. Reach one. You are important to God. Every member of Lighthouse Baptist Church is important to God. And He's given all of us a reach. And He's given us ways to extend that reach if we'll choose to do so. But can I give you a warning? Your reach can be diminished. Your reach can be shorter than it should be. based on your choices. It can be extended based on your choices. It's up to you. Will you join me this year in a vision, in a theme for each one to reach one?